Okay, welcome everyone. It's so wonderful to see everyone again. Here we are, gathered once again to learn together in anticipation of Rosh Hashanah and the anticipation of the Yomim Noraim, continuing in our series that relates to the davening of Yomim Noraim. In particular, trying to unpack and reveal some of the underlying themes of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, and most importantly, trying to appreciate some of the textual nuances that really produce for us certain messages, certain ideas that allow us to fully appreciate the totality of the davening. It's so wonderful to see everyone. Welcome, welcome. So feel free to grab a machzor if you would like, and this way you can follow along. We are in the second section of the Musaf for Rosh Hashanah, and that is the section of Zichronos. The Musaf has three parts, and that is Malchios, which discusses the Malchus, the kingship of Hashem, Zichronos, which comes from the word Zikaron or Zecher, which discusses the memories, which we're going to relate to in a little bit of a moment, and Shofros, of course, which has to do with the Kol Shofar and the more future-leaning dimensions and redemptive qualities of the Yom Tov as well. What is Zichronos all about? What does it mean that embedded in the very middle, the fulcrum of our Musaf experience, is actually related to things that God remembers? Why is that so central? So first of all, we recognize that the notion that Rosh Hashanah is connected to Zichronos is actually more prominent than just its place within the Shmona Esrei. Zechira is already employed in describing the Chag of Rosh Hashanah itself. The Torah says, "Bachodesh Hashvi be'echad lachodesh yeh lachem shabbason," that Rosh Hashanah takes place on the first day of the seventh month. Zichron Trua, Mikra Kodesh. The identity of Rosh Hashanah itself is associated with the notion of Zikaron, of memory. And in fact, when we refer to Rosh Hashanah in the context of Tefillah or in the context of Birchas Hamazon, what do we say? We refer to Yom HaZikaron, Hazeh. We don't call it Yom HaDin. We don't call it Rosh Hashanah Hazeh. We relate to it as Yom HaZikaron Hazeh. So clearly, the identity of Rosh Hashanah is deeply connected to this concept of Zikaron. What is this all about? So let's begin with a comment from Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik quotes the Sefer HaYikarim. The Sefer HaYikarim writes that Zichronos refers to what's called Hashkacha Pratis. This is the divine providence that we experience in the manner in which God relates to the details of our lives. The notion that God is not only interested in broader, more global and universal elements of humanity and of the world, but rather the particularistic dimensions of our existence are also in the domain of the attention and the engagement of the Ribbono Shel Olam in an active manner. So if Malchios was really a expression of, as we discussed last week, of where we stand relative to the Malchus Hashem, where we are relative to God, Zichronos is actually much more about our personal lives and really more about where God is relative to us. And this internalization, this personalization of the Shmona Esrei is what occurs right in the middle. So if you think about it, the two bookends of the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah encompass Malchios, which of course is very global in nature, Shofros, which refers to redemption and where the world is ultimately headed. These are two larger, more grandiose concepts and ways in which we relate to God and the Jewish people. And within the two, anchoring both, is this notion of Zichronos, this very private, this very personal, this very specific element of our relationship with Yom HaDin. The notion that God has an interest in all of the details of our lives is something that we would like to connect to in a profound way over Rosh Hashanah. Because aside from Rosh Hashanah just being something that is relevant to the world at large, where the world is judged, as we say in this Nisana Tokef, quoting the famous Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, that everybody passes before God kivnei maron. And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us that that phrase, Kivnei Maron, is meant to allude to a number of different metaphors, but all of which essentially mean that God relates to us as individuals. There is something private about Rosh Hashanah. There's something personal about Rosh Hashanah. There's something about bringing the totality of our lives and our life experience into the orbit of this religious service. It's not only about the world and about the Jewish people. It's also about us. And when we think of the details of our lives and that God takes into account in his judgment of each and every one of us, not only the larger picture, but also the details, the manner in which the nuances of our life experiences impact us, impact our environment, shape the context of how we live our lives. All of this is taken into account. So we generally relate to those details as part of how we can ensure, that there is a full and complete judgment of who we are and of our lives. In other words, we have to recognize that God takes into account everything, right? We certainly, as we sit here today on this Zoom, in the context of this global pandemic, and we think about our Yom HaDin, and perhaps we have some anxiety related to that Yom HaDin. So we think about a little bit, we consider whether or not God is not only looking at our obligations and our capacity, but all of the detailed manners in which our lives have been impacted and affected. And the truth is that the part of Zichronos is to conjure that sense of the Ribbono Shel Olam's attention to the most minute detail of how the world affects our lives and how that relates to our Yom HaDin. But it also is true in the inverse as well. Because not only does the Ribbono Shel Olam take into account everything that's going on around us in issuing this judgment and having a certain sense of mercy and understanding in terms of what we've been through, but the Ribbono Shel Olam also takes into account the opposite, which is all of the smaller opportunities that we have had to transcend these circumstances, to be able to step up, to be able to give of ourselves, to be able to connect with the larger world around us. All of this is part of the world of Zichronos. Zichronos is where all of the detail becomes part and parcel of what is our Yom HaDin. The bracha of Zichronos is intended to instill within ourselves and our accounting for the year a sensitivity to the details of life. And this is very much part of what we are focused on in our world today. In fact, when the Gemara tells us about the mandate to recite Zichronos as part of our expressive tefillah to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Gemara says, "V'amru lefanai b'Rosh Hashanah," you'll say before me on Rosh Hashanah, "Malchio Zichronos v'Shofros." And when it comes to Zichronos, so the Gemara says, Zichronos, what does it mean, remembrances? Kedei sheya'ale zichronechem lefanai l'tov. Remembrances so that your remembrance will rise before me, litova. The Sif Sechaim points out that this introductory phrase, v'amru lefanai, that you will say it before me, refers not just to the substance of what it is that we're saying, not just to the contextual description that what it is that's being said is in fact before God, but actually refers to us ourselves, to us as human beings. The Amru Lefanai. We have an obligation to bring ourselves into this experience. And this is the part of the davening where we have to allow ourselves to emotionally and existentially lift off the page and the particular boundaries of words and texts and to think and to connect to the details of our lives and what's going on in our lives and how all of those different elements are part of this larger experience of Yom HaDin. That we are v'amru lefanai. Part of it is we're bringing the totality of ourselves. Malchios is more universal, it's more declarative, it's more expressive. Zichronos is the ability to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's constant cognizance of all that's occurred, all that is occurring, and all that will occur. And therefore, it requires a more personal sense of presence. We have to be lefanai. We're not just reacting to the presence of God in an expression of affirmation of malchios. We're not just affirming some future vision of where we want to go, the world of shofros, but rather we live the moment, the hayom of Rosh Hashanah. Living where we are, the moment where we are, who we are, what we've struggled with, what is part of our life, what is part of our experience, that is that entire immersive approach is part of what it means to stand before God in the context of Zichronos. This is where we can get very specific with the Rabbono Shalom. And Rav Lichtenstein, in an amazing address, describes two different types of memory. What exactly is the memory that we're relating to here when we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's memory? Rav Lichtenstein writes, if I were to define the word Zikaron and its connotations, I believe that almost every one of us would arrive at a concept somehow connoting the sphere of the past. To remember, or so we are accustomed to believing, means to guard in our consciousness, especially in the intellectual sense, some facet or experience which we have acquired through our intellect or our senses. A person with a good memory is someone who succeeds in storing in his mind a fresh impression of what he has heard, seen, and learned in the past. So when we hear about Zichronos, we generally assume this to mean, oh, this is the part of Rosh Hashanah where God opens up the book and says, you did this, and you did this, and you did this, and you did this. This is the part of Rosh Hashanah where God essentially catches us for everything that we've done, right? The famous metaphor, there's a video camera taping everything that is going on all around us. We recently installed a security system in our home. And coming along with the security system is, of course, some outdoor cameras. And the cameras tell you, they tell you if someone's at the door, or they tell you if you could shut them off also, but they record timing. So the other day, and they text it to your phone. So the other day, I was on my way to shul. I left the house. I got into my car. I drove to shul. I show up in shul. And they've already started. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, they started early. I left on time. Lo and behold, I look at my phone and texted to me is intruder right in front of the front door. The intruder was me. And there's a picture of me standing there with a timestamp that is, of course, 1 minute after the beginning of davening starting time in the YIPC, which is, of course, 5 minutes after the posted time, which is, of course, 15 minutes after when Carl would like us all to be there. So what do we see from all of this? We see the notion that we generally relate to the Zichronos world as Hashem's watching, Hashem's remembering. Hashem has a database of everything we've done. And he has a list and he sees what's going on. And he listens to what's going on. And it's all going to be handed to us at an end of the year report. And that's Rosh Hashanah. That's the world of Zichronos. Says Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, nothing can be further from the truth. Yes, part of Rosh Hashanah is definitely a calculation and a recounting of what we've done and a somewhat of an evaluation of how we've lived our lives and what the repercussions of that are going to be moving forward. Of course, all understanding that we approach the Ribbono Shel Olam with an appeal for rachamim and mercy from a disposition of tshuva, of a commitment to change and a commitment to grow. But at the end of the day, there is a recognition that it's more than just what God remembers. And Rav Aaron Lichtenstein quotes a number of psukim in the Torah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he remembers things. God remembers Rachel, God remembers Noach, God remembers the Jewish people. And that's Rav Lichtenstein. What do you think? God has a bad memory? And he just, this was like a burst, he had like a deja vu, like all of a sudden he saw one thing going on, he's like, oh yeah, I didn't deal with Rachel yet, right? God doesn't have those human properties of forgetfulness. God's not some guy you send to the store to buy three items and comes back with six, but five of which were not on the list to begin with, right? That's not the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ribbono Shel Olam Everything's rock solid, rock solid. Everything's in there. A person doesn't forget anything. So what does that mean that Hashem remembered something? So says Rav Aaron Lichtenstein that memory relative to God is not memory relative to human beings. We think about memory, we think about the past. When the Rabbonu Shalom, we talk about the Zechira of the Rabbonu Shalom, we talk about the active cognizance of the span of history and the present and the future in God's relating in Hashgacha to everything that's going on in the world. That's what we mean about God's active memory. I'll give you an example in human terms. I see the watch, Carl. Amazing, amazing, amazing. I miss having your watch in front of me live in the Pirkei Avos shir and ignoring it intentionally. I really do. So so Rav Lichtenstein says, what is memory? What does memory refer to? So if someone says to you, let's say someone's going on a trip and they're going far away and they say to you, don't forget me. So what do they mean, don't forget me? What does that mean, don't forget me? Don't forget me means that I want you to have the data in your mind that, you know, if I were to ask for a list of things that, that you know about, that you're on the list, that's what it means, don't forget me. That's not what it means, don't forget me. Don't forget me means I want to be an active part of your consciousness. I want that when you lead your life, when you go throughout your day, maybe you're not thinking about me at every moment, but when it's relevant and when it's impactful and when it's meaningful, that my presence, your connection to me, your emotional connection to me, and here your spiritual connection to me becomes relevant, becomes real, becomes resonant in whatever's going on. So says Rav Lichtenstein, when we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Zechira, so we're talking, and if you look at the tefillos themselves, Ata Zocher Masei Olam Upoked Kol Yitzirei Kedem. Yes, we're talking about God's list or God's record of everything that happened, and God does remember everything that happened. But we're also talking about another type of memory. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has perspective and penetrating insight and vision that transverses all generations. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at a moment, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to a moment, he comes to that moment with the larger context of other elements of the world and life and things that went on. That's what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we talk about Zichronos, we mean about Zichronos is an active divine consciousness, is that when the Rabbon Shem looks at us, he should look at us holistically. There's memories there, not nostalgia, active elements of memory. It's like when you're dealing with a person who's being very difficult over the course of the last number of months. I've had the great zechus to deal with many difficult people, Baruch Hashem, only over the internet. However, when you deal with a person who's difficult, but you know that they've had a challenging life experience, it colors the way in which you interface with them. You have more compassion. You have more patience. You have more of an ability to put up with what they're saying. Why does that memory affect things? It's not just because it's locked in your head as a memory. That memory is part of the active context that you are summoning in order to relate to this particular event, to this particular moment. That is the world of Zichronos. The world of Zichronos is appealing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to look at our life holistically. And we're going to see, not just holistically, everything that Yaakov's done in the past, everything that Yaakov does now, all the different ways in which the world and life experiences are affecting him. That's not only what we mean. We mean holistically the memories that are related to us that are more national, that are more historical, that relate to our legacy and our future, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to us in very specific terms, but from a disposition that has an enormous, enormous range that is all part of the calculus in determining the direction and the consequences and the opportunities that are going to be presented to us in our lives. And that's what it means to have schus avos, that things that maybe we're not deserving of, but we will receive over the course of this year things that we didn't earn. But Zichrono says, this isn't just about me being part of the kingdom, Malchus. This isn't just about the whole nation edited somewhere in the world of shofros. Things that occurred and happened and were accomplished and achieved that predate me, and maybe even post-date me, all of that has to be part of the package. Where my life is coming from, where it is, and where it's headed. All of that is part of the world of Yom HaDin. And the psukim that we recite over the course of this tefillah give expression to that. I want to focus on the psukim because I think it's difficult for many of us at this point in the davening to relate to the psukim as a text of tefillah. We're used to tefillos that are essentially crafted, whether or not they have psukim as part of the emotional presentation, but we are generally used to tefillos that are crafted as an appeal for something we're asking for something we're praising Hashem for. Here, we're just going to simply recite a number of verses. So it's important to understand what the messaging of those verses are, because they comprise the core text of Zichronos. And each one is intended to convey a different dynamic related to what we are trying to connect to in the world of Zichronos. So we start with Vayizkor Elokim es Noach, Vayizkola Chayah, Vayizkola Behimah, Asher Ito Bateva, Vayaver Elokim Ruach Ala Oretz, Vayishoku Hamayim. The moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the world and he remembers Noach, the Zechira of Noach. So what does this mean, that God remembered Noach? So the Radak writes, very simply, that Dibre Torah Kelashon B'nei Adam, whatever it means in divine terms, is beyond the scope of our comprehension. So the Torah uses a term, the Torah uses a word that we can relate to. It's what, for a human being, would be experienced as memory, that God remembers. But Rashi writes that, what does Vayizkor mean? That the Pasuk is specifically coming to tell us, Vayizkor Elokim es Noach. Elokim is God's name when he is manifesting his attribute of rachamim, of mercy. So what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing? There's been a shift in the divine disposition towards the world. Vayizkor means something has happened in the landscape of humanity that has resulted in some sort of profound paradigm shift in the way in which God is relating to the world right now. In previous moments, it was a relationship of justice, of din, and now it's going to be a relationship of rachamim. So part of what we are appealing for in the context of Zichronos is for God to relate to us in our lives from a disposition of mercy, of rachamim, not from a disposition of din, not from a disposition of pure justice. So something has to happen. There's a zechira. Something, some event, some choice, some life experience needs to be introduced into the evaluation that causes that shift in the way in which God relates to us. And the Ramban explains that what is the catalyst? The catalyst is the Vayizkor, is the recognition that Noach at his core was a tzaddik and was a tamim. God brought a din upon the world, Chazal tell us, which could have been prevented if Noach would have been successful at transforming the generation around him. He was not. He fell short of that expectation, as Rashi tells us in comparing him to Avraham. And so therefore, God brings justice on the world. The world deserves destruction. And now God comes, and it's time for the new phase of the world. What transitions the divine disposition from justice to rachamim? The zechira, the divine engagement with the reality that Noach's penetrating inner world is one of righteousness. That he may have fallen short in his mandate to impact the world around him, but his own character, his own nobility, his own spirituality is one that is enviable, that is fantastic. And as a result, God, with that with that as part of the calculation, the whole approach of the Ribbono Shel Olam shifts. The Tzoraa Ma'ar says that the Zechira was that Noach and his family had suffered enough. Whatever it is, the Zechira here refers to bringing in the broader world of Noach. And that's what we are saying to God when we recite these psukim. We're saying, you know what? We've been through many storms, and we don't know what accounts for so much of the challenges in the world around us. We are asking you, God, Vayizkor Elokim Esnach, we are asking you, we are trying to evoke this midah of zechira, of memory, of connecting to who we are beyond just what we deserve, but maybe looking at our core qualities, that fundamentally we're good, fundamentally we have aspirations to impact the world and to elevate the world and to do great things with this world, and to allow that to be the guiding narrative that ultimately shapes how the Ribbono Shel Olam decides the trajectory of humanity is going to point in the next coming year. That's the Zechira. That's the Zechira of Noach. And that's what we're asking from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Not just remember the good stuff we did, but rather take into account our core qualities in evaluating perhaps even where we've fallen short. And allow that to be the determining factor that establishes what's going to happen moving forward. In the next pasuk that the Machzor relates, that we're going to recite, V'nemar, V'yishma Elokim es na'akasam, V'yizkor Elokim es briso, es Abram, es Yitzchak, es Yaakov. That this is a pasuk that emerges in Shibud Mitzrayim. The Jewish people are entirely involved in the servitude of Egypt. They have been oppressed, and they have been assaulted on so many levels. And the Jewish people are sitting there wallowing in the abyss of Egypt. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu decides, Vayishma Elokim is nakasami, hears their cries, Vayizkor Elokim, and he remembers them. So the Medrash writes on this pasuk, what is it that evoked this memory? What's the memory? So the memory is the covenant he made with Abram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What's that covenant? That covenant is that regardless of the historical experience, the national journey of servitude that would encompass so many years and define the experience of the Jewish people, there will come a moment, the Achrei Chen Yetzu Birchush Gadol. There would come a moment of redemption. That's the covenant that God made with Abram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And by conjuring the Bris Avos and making that reality part of what's going on here, that is what is responsible for the transition where God ultimately, by Yishma Elokim, where God now transitions and moves history forward in terms of the redemption of the Jewish people. Now things begin to ultimately take off. So it's the Bris of Abram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Part of Zichronos is to stand at this moment and to say to God, you know what? Even if the totality of my own life experience does not merit a particular blessing, a particular expression of mercy, something that I am striving for in my life, I'm part of something bigger. I'm part of something larger. I'm part of a nation. I'm part of a people. I'm part of a covenant. And that too must be an active element of the divine consciousness and be taken into consideration when evaluating the landscape of my life. We're part of something larger than ourselves. You're telling me that Yaakov doesn't deserve it? You're telling me that Passaic doesn't deserve it? You're telling me that North America doesn't deserve it? You're telling me that 2020 doesn't deserve it? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're part of something bigger. That was all true in Mitzrayim. And we know, Vayizkor Elokim es briso es Abram es Yitzchak es Yaakov. And by us taking the initiative to raise these covenants as part of the context of our spiritual moment of connection with God on this day of judgment, we bring in these zichronos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes them into account in the larger landscape of what should happen next. The Nemar in the next pasuk, V'zacharti es brisi Yaakov, V'ap es brisi Yitzchak, V'ap es brisi Avram ezkor, V'ha'aretz ezkor. This pasuk is in the context of the Tochacha, in Parshas Bechukosai, when the Torah tells us all these terrible things that could happen in the experience of Hester Panim, when God is not actively focused through his disposition of mercy and blessing for the Jewish people, and for whatever reason we find ourselves in difficult times. So the Torah tells us, but ultimately, that will not be the final chapter. The final chapter is, V'zacharti esprisi, I remember that covenant. V'ha'aretz ezkar, I remember the promise to build the land, to redeem the people. And again, the notion is that within the context of Hester Panim, what pierces that Midas Hadin, it's not always transformation within the Jewish people right now at this moment. Sometimes it's and it's not always a recall of actions that they did in the past, and it's not always from the beginning of Zichronos, like Noach, a concentration on the core qualities of goodness. Sometimes it's just simply a recognition that there is an ultimate promise from the Ribbono Shel Olam that there will be a fulfillment of this covenant, that it will be realized. And we have every right and we have every opportunity to appeal to God that become part of the larger context within which our din, our experience of Yom HaDin, our Rosh Hashanah, our Yom HaZikaron is taking place. So we're bringing to the fore who we ultimately are. We're bringing our legacy and we're bringing the larger notion of promise that ultimately we will be successful. The following psukim, Zecher Asal in Iflosav, Chanun V'Rachum Hashem, right? Which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a zechira, like a memorial for his wonders. Gracious and merciful is Hashem. So this pasuk is very different than the psukim we read before, because this pasuk refers not just to what Hashem is remembering, but it refers to our remembering of Hashem. It refers to, and the question is, what does that have to do with the world of Zichronos in Rosh Hashanah? So the Shiras David quotes the famous Ramban in Parshas Bo, where the Ramban writes that we have a tremendous focus in Yahadus on remembering miracles, Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim, and immortalizing divine expressions of supernatural intervention in our history and in our journey of peoplehood as central to our faith. And the reason for that is because when that becomes an anchor of our thinking and of our connection with God, we always recognize that no matter what situation, what scenario, what circumstance we're facing, ultimately there exists a faith and a capacity of God to transcend the boundaries of what we perceive to be the limitations of our lives. Shiras David writes, the interventional miracles of history are part of our faith. So in the context of Zichronos, what we're affirming here is that God views our world as not just a place where we earn reward and punishment, but rather there is a broader goal that we're working towards. That what we're asking for is not just simply a response and a reaction to what it is that we have done or where we have fallen short, but rather we're asking for the tools and the health and the prosperity and the inspiration and the serenity and mindset and confidence and relationships and opportunities to be able to advance our lives. Zecher asal iniflosav chanun v'rachum Hashem. We have to recognize that God has that capacity for everything. So part of this zechira is bringing into the context of our tefillah to the Ribbono Shel Olam the notion that God can transcend whatever limitations we perceive. And then there are two psukim in Tehillim. Teref nosan l'reyav yizkor la'olam briso. He gave, Rashi says, this means food. Other mefarshim say this means the money of Mitzrayim. The Mitzudas David says it might mean man. But the notion is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives sustenance to those who fear him. Yizkor la'olam briso. He is ever mindful of his bris, of his covenant. Which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides that which we need in order to accomplish the things that we want to accomplish in life, because part of the calculation is this sense of promise that transcends whatever we deserve at the moment. The pasuk in Tehillim, Kuf Vav, V'nemar v'yizkar la'em b'riso v'yinochem k'rov chastov. And he remembered his covenant for them, and he Vayinachem, he relented in accordance with Rov Chastav, his abundance of kindness. This is from the Perek in Tehillim that goes through the entire history of the Midbar, from Yetzias Mitzrayim through the end, with everything that went wrong. And even though everything went wrong, and even though the Jewish people constantly and consistently disappointed the Ribbono Shel Olam, Vayizkor Lahem Beriso, Vayinachem Kerov Chasadav. You see, how much of Zichronos is not about God doesn't forget all the things we did, right and wrong. Zichronos is about introducing a wider lens in how the Ribbono Shel Olam relates to us and how we relate to God. In the final group of psukim, Vayidei Avadecha in the Nevi'im, Haloch, this is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Haloch v'karasa be'aznei Yerushalayim. Go and proclaim in the ears of Yerushalayim, Leimar, Ko amar Hashem, so said God, Zacharti loch chesed ne'urayich. I remembered for you the kindness of your youth, Ahavas kelulosayich, the love of your bridal days. Lech teich acharai b'midbar, the way you followed me into the midbar, be'eretz lo zarua, to a land that was not cultivated. The Brisker Rav comments in his Perush on the Haggadah with respect to this pasuk, that even though the Jewish people in the moment that this pasuk is describing had already experienced all of the miracles of Yitzias Mitzrayim, of the Exodus from Egypt, and even though they already add a strong indication that God had the supernatural capacity and divine ability to care for them and to take care of them, at the end of the day, the notion that Mitzrayim still represented what was familiar to them. Mitzrayim, as the Ibn Ezra writes, why the Jewish people panicked on the shores of the Midbar and wanted to return to, on the shores of the Yamsuf, and wanted to return to Mitzrayim, even though they knew that would be right into the hands of their oppressors, because it's very hard to expel from within the consciousness of a person a certain habituation that they develop to the circumstances within which they find themselves. So lech teich acharai b'midbar, the key word is acharai. The key word is that the Jewish people, even though they were comfortable and familiar with the challenges within which they found themselves, they were willing to follow God into the unknown. This is very resonant for where we find ourselves right now. Because we are, you know, when this whole thing started, there was a certain clarity of the threat and of the challenge and of what to do and how to handle it and how to relate to it. And now we find ourselves in a much more ambiguous space, in a much more difficult and fluid and many different opinions and controversies and approaches to what should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing. And it's challenging. It's much more challenging. Lech teich acharai b'midbar. We have to have the courage to be able to pursue whatever it is that we are striving to accomplish in our service of the Ribbono Shel Olam, even when it is into the realm of the unknown. If halacha or our general ideological approach says it's time to move forward on a particular goal, on a particular point, on a particular moment, even when it's challenging and it's anxious and it's difficult and it's overwhelming, there's still a notion, lech teich, and even when remaining in the status quo is actually harder to do, it's still a moment that often presents enormous psychological pull, because we become defined by the circumstances within which we find ourselves. Lech teich acharai b'midbar be'eretz lo zarua, the ability to follow the Ribbono Shel Olam, even when there's not as much clarity and it's more difficult and things are not as defined. So in the context of Zichronos, that courage, that tenacity, that record of the Jewish people, that's part of what we want the Ribbono Shel Olam to take into account. Yes, sometimes out of anxiety and fear, out of temptation and challenge, out of just simple abandonment of our values and our expectations, sometimes we do the wrong thing. But fundamentally, everybody who's involved in trying to advance their lives in the framework of Avodas Hashem recognizes that lech teich acharai b'midbar. We follow God into the unknown. We follow God when we're not sure what's going to ultimately happen. We're not sure. And that's a difficult way to live. And that's a difficult way to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it's part of the context that we are shaping for the world of Zichronos. Don't God turn to us simply based on your memory of data, of what we did and what we didn't do, and create some sort of chart and give us points and give us a din. Lech teich acharai b'midbar. Don't forget, ko amar Hashem, zacharti lo chesed neurayich, that there's a, sometimes we're ambitious. Sometimes we go even when we don't know what's going to be. And that in and of itself has to be part of the larger context of our world of Yamim Noraim. The next pasuk comes from Sefer Yechezkel. V'nemar v'zacharti ani es brisi osach, b'mei ne'urayich v'akimosi lach bris olam. I will remember my covenant, which I made with you in the days of your youth, and I will fulfill it as a bris olam, as an everlasting covenant. And this is the transition of the bris ne'urayich, the covenant of youth, to the bris olam, to the notion that the covenant is eternal. Both the Radak and the Malbim develop the notion that part of what we are trying to introduce, part of what the Ribon Shalom is acknowledging, is that sometimes precedents are established based on Herculean expressions of faith. Sometimes patterns are initiated in history based on the actions of the few that build a foundation and build a certain set of expectations of what ultimately will define us as a people. And that bris ne'urayich, those covenants that are made in our originating moments, those evolve into a bris olam. So this is true on a national level, and this could be true on a micro-personal level as well. Sometimes when we are first encountering either the world of Yahadus in general, or a season of reflection and inspiration, or some other aspect of life, the beginning for those who have the great schus of being able to raise children, the ability, the beginning of a new year. Very often, the world of Ne'urayich brings forth a bris, a covenant, brings forth a certain passion, a certain idealism, a certain ambition, a certain sense of reach for something greater. So what the Torah is telling us is that there is a transition that can take place on the Yamim Noraim, where that bris ne'urayich becomes part of the bris olam. You know what, God? I've been worn down. It's hard. It's really, really hard. In the beginning, it was ambitious and exciting and easy, and it was on fire. But years come, challenges arise, all sorts of things progress. And as life evolves, it becomes more and more difficult. And so therefore, things erode. So part of what we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the bris ne'urayich has to transition to the bris olam. This is part of what we're trying to accomplish. And finally, Haben Yakir Li Ephraim. Is Ephraim not my precious son? Im Yeled Sha'ashuim Ki Midei Dabri Bo Zachar Es Kirenu Od. Is Ephraim not my precious son? Is he not a child of delight? For whenever I speak of him, I recall him even more. Therefore, my innermost being is aroused for him. I will surely have compassion of him, says Hashem. Zachar ezkerenu od. I will recall him even more. I will recall him even more. The Malbim on this pasuk says so beautifully that when a father looks at the iniquities or the disappointments of his son at different stages of life, there are different reactions. The compassion that comes when the son is a child emanates from the fact that the father has calibrated expectations. He's a kid. He made a mistake. He did something wrong because he's a kid. That's what kids do. And then when the child becomes an adult and does something wrong, so the father also has calibrated reactions. Why? Not because he's a child and there's an expectation of immaturity, but rather he has calibrated expectations because you're my son, because I have compassion for you, because of the relationship, because of the connection. Haben Yakir Li Ephraim Im Yeled Sha'ashuim Ki Midei Dabri Bo Zachar Ez Kirenu Al Kein Homu Me'ailo Rachem Arachamenu Ne'um Hashem. So says the Malbim, Hashem has compassion on us because sometimes we do the wrong thing simply because we're human beings and we react to things and we're impulsive and we don't think things through. And as a result, something happens that doesn't fulfill God's expectations. However, even when we move beyond that, Zacharias Kirenu Ode, we're also not just Yeled Shashuim, we're also a Habein Yakirli. Ultimately, we're your children. Banim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. Ultimately, we're God's children. And so therefore, that compassion should be part of the relationship itself. And this is the last pasuk of Zichronos, because this pasuk is not about our inner capacity. It's not about the legacy. It's not about the covenants. It's not about the avos. It's not about Jewish history. It's not about what we may have done before. It's simply about the raw relationship that exists between God and the Jewish people, and introducing that as a defining element of context of our world of Yom Hadin. We say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what we say at this moment of Zichronos. We look at God and we say, you know what? Even with all the covenants and all the things and everything, at the end of the day, you know what? We're your kids. We're your kids. We're your kids. Don't forget, we're your kids. And that is the transcending experience of Zichronos. It concludes with a bracha that surrounds the world of Akedas Yitzchak. Why would that be the end of Zichronos? Because perhaps one of the most poignant memories that we can conjure for the Ribono Shel Olam, the one that speaks to our enduring commitment to God and his values and his Torah throughout Jewish history, is the notion of sacrifice. Kedas Yitzchak personifies the willingness of the Jewish people to give anything and everything, their children, their morality, anything and everything for God and what God represents. And the Akedah is not just something that happened on Har HaMoriah with Avram Avinu and Yitzchak. The Akedah ripples throughout Jewish history. It happened throughout pogroms. It happened in the Holocaust. It happened in terror attacks. It happened so many other times where the Jewish people were prepared to make sacrifices. And some of those sacrifices were not just so extreme of sacrifices of life. Some of those sacrifices are sacrifices of convenience, sacrifices of finances, sacrifices of a sense of confidence in your future. So many sacrifices that we make for the Ribono Shel Olam in the name of what we believe in. And that's how we close Zichronos. Zocher Abris, remember the covenant of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and remember what we've given up for that covenant. So yeah. Did we mess up a few times? We did. Did we miss some davenings over the last number of months? We did. Did we not have together all the different elements of things we should have had together? We did. But don't forget the sacrifices we made. Don't forget what we did to put our kids in school, not 4 hours a day on Zoom just to learn secular studies, but 6 and 7 hours a day so that they continue to learn Torah. Don't forget we stood in the hot sun so that we could daven together as a tzibur when it was safe. Don't forget that we endured all sorts of financial hardships that we can ensure that we could take care of others. Don't forget, Ribono Shel Olam, that alongside, layered with all of these other zichronos, with what Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did in our core, who we are, and all the other elements, don't forget all the sacrifices we make in order to be able to live lives as Jews. And all we're asking, Ribono Shel Olam, all we're asking is for the tools and the ability to even continue to make some of those sacrifices, but to be able to do it in a manner that maximizes our potential for our Avodas Hashem. That's the world of Zichronos, and what we should think about at the end of this portion of the Shmona Esrei, before we recite that final bracha of Zocher Abris, is we should think about everything, the totality of ourselves, our life experience, our family, our community, our people, our history. Ribono Shel Olam, you're going to judge just Yaakov right now. This is just about me. But I'm part of something much, much bigger. I'm part of something bigger. Even within myself, I'm part of something bigger. But I'm part of something much, much bigger. And all of that is Lofanai. All of that has to be brought before you in consideration of what it is that I am asking for. And if we can do that, then it's certainly not just about what Rav Lichtenstein described as the first type of memory. Hey, God, here I am. Let's go through the year. I did this right and this wrong and that wrong and this right and this right and that wrong. Oh, the net is disaster. All right, I got a Seres Metshuva to fix this up. That's not Zichronos. Zichronos is an expansion of who we are and what we connect to and how we connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam in so many different ways. Wishing everyone a wonderful and amazing day.